We want to start with a couple scriptures because we feel like that what's possible, what God has made possible for us is possible for you as well. So I wanted to read Mark 9:23. It says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believeth, all things are possible to him that believeth.
In Acts 10:34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.
Right. Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 1, I forgot what verse it was, but it says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. We just want to read those to start because we want you to know that God, like my wife said, is no respecter of persons. And he can give to you a good opportunity to marry in the Lord and to have a good Christian companion and a good marriage, as he has her and I. Right? Okay. She agrees. All right. So they give us a list of a few things to maybe hit on a little bit tonight. So one of them was the challenges of waiting. And so I was going to let my wife go first on that one. About the challenges of waiting.
Okay. Well, when Alan and I first met, I was 16 and you were 21. So I was 16 years old.
She was almost 17, so there.
Okay.
So. And as a father of four girls, don't even think about it.
So.
My mind has changed about that age thing. Go ahead.
Okay. So, being 16 years old, you're not really that old, but the waiting and the opportunities that the devil kind of brings along your way. Even at 16, he tries to entice you, maybe a person at school or whatever, but that you want to stay, marry in the Lord and date in the Lord. And we had a little spell when we had even split up. He'll get into that, I'm sure, but during that time, it was kind of like the feeling of, and now it's like, that's so crazy. But the feeling the devil would bring was, well, there's nobody else. You might as well settle for this one. There's nobody else. There's no one for you. This, you might as well just settle. And you don't want to settle because you just think, well, there's nobody else.
Right.
Hold on and wait. God has someone for you. Don't just settle because, well, it'll change. He'll change. She'll change. And it'll be all right. And I'll just settle down and it'll be fine. We'll pray. I have all the church to stand behind me and pray. No, don't settle. Just hold on in prayer, and God will bring that perfect one that you can know.
So the challenges for me, I mean, I was 21 when we met, and I reiterate, with four girls, I feel like 21 and 16, what was their parents thinking? But I was saved. I was really saved. I really loved the Lord, and she was really saved. But the challenge for me, believe it or not, in those days, at 21, you was getting really pretty old to not be married. A lot of my friends had already got married. I know that's not so much the case today, but in that day, and I was, the challenge for me was, I just wondered if I was ever going to get married or not, if it was ever going to work out. And I know maybe that age has moved a little bit now, where people are not getting as married as quick, but I know that can be a challenge when you start thinking, well, others have got married, and here I am, I'm whatever age. But you know, don't let that challenge cause you to jump into something.
Right.
Don't let that challenge cause you to do something that then you regret. Because they always said it's better to be single and wanting to be married than to be married and wanting to be single. And so don't let that challenge, just because some others maybe found their companion a little sooner or whatever, don't let that cause you to jump into the wrong thing. And as Sherry said, we were supposed to tell them how we met.
Oh.
Okay, let's do this. Then we'll talk about the breakup.
Oh, okay.
You want to tell them how we met?
The first time I seen Alan, he got up to sing with Brother Dishman. And you know how when there's a new guy on the campgrounds, all the girls are like, oh. And I looked at him and I was like, oh, he's too puny.
She doesn't say that now.
I was like, and I thought, and he's pretty good looking. I had like a list. But when I met him at the gazebo, an old boyfriend actually introduced us. And I was so like, wow, my heart was pitter-pattering. And I was so just, yeah. Anyway, that's where we first met, mm-hmm. on the gazebo.
Yeah. And this camp meeting is very special to us because it was on these grounds we met, and we got to know each other. Like she said, me and a person that they liked each other in the past, but it didn't work out. We were sitting on the gazebo one afternoon in August of 1993, and her and some girls came walking up through there, and I just asked who they were. And so we were introduced, and after that we started following each other. And that's just what that means. I know that's not what it means today to follow each other, but that's what it meant back then. We started following each other. So when I would know that she was going to be at a revival, guess where I would go? I would go to that revival. When I knew she was going to be at an all-day meeting, then that's where I would go.
And where were we sitting? We would try to sit.
Yeah, we'd try to follow each other where we were sitting. And then after that, after we were introduced here on the grounds, and we kind of started getting to know each other, we started writing letters to one another. My wife still has most of them. Now, you may not know what writing a letter is, but it's where you take like an ink pen like this, you use a piece of paper, and you actually write down on the paper thoughts and ideals you have, and you ask questions that may take up to 10 days to get answered. But we were very patient. We were patient back then, wasn't we?
Yes.
Yeah, it was patient. Okay.
Sometimes we would call each other on the phone a lot, and then there was long distance. We had long distance back then. Now you don't really have that much. But, and when we would talk to each other on the phone, like, you know how you have your cell phone, it wasn't like that. There's usually a cord connected to it, and our little port where our phone was right by the bathroom, like in the living room with everybody. So I'd sit on the bathroom floor with the door shut and just talk to, and I'd be talking and talking and talking, and I'd be like, yeah, la, 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 and yeah, and he was sleeping. He would fall asleep on the phone. So.
I worked long hours.
But yeah. So that was kind of like a get ready, here we go.
But we really began to like each other. We really began to feel drawn to one another. And during the summer of 1994, I felt like God, we were seeing each other at all the camp meetings and revivals and things. And I would occasionally drive up there. There was another family in their congregation that would let me stay at their home. So I would drive up there, stay at their home, and I would attend church with her. But in 1994, in the summer, I thought, you know, I want to be sure. It's good to be sure. It's good to take some time and be sure. And I thought, I want to be sure. And so I felt like God. I wrote this letter, and I told her, I said, it was almost time for June camp meeting. And I wrote this letter, and I told her, you know, I think maybe we should just, you know, take a break. We should take some time to pray and just fast and make sure. And so I sent the letter, and then I came to June camp meeting, and she's kind of a trickster.
Well, I'll just say, when we were first dating, I had the awfulest time being myself. You know, I'm 16 years old. Here's this good-looking guy, 21, Brother Dishman's nephew, that's talking to me. And I had a really hard time being myself, and I was so upset with myself. I had a hard time eating and just couldn't. I was like, I'll have orange juice with tacos. It was really challenging. So I was feeling the same way. I was like, this is stupid. I'm ready to, we need to end this. I'm, you know, something has to work out, because this is, I can't be myself. So when I got the letter, I was like, that's fine. I want to do that too. So when I came to camp meeting, he was staying in the boys' dorm, and I was on Sunday night, become Sunday night, you know. And they used to have the snack bar out by the bookstore back then. So I was like, where's Alan Polston? Oh, I think he's gone to the dorm. So we were just like, oh, come on, Rachel, my cousin Rachel. I was like, let's go see where he's at. Is Alan Polston there? He comes out, and he has popcorn. And I'm like, how are you? And I start eating his popcorn. And I'm like, by this, I have nothing to lose. I've already lost him, you know. So I just.
She was talking more than we had ever talked.
Yeah. And I could just be myself. And I just acted like I didn't even get. He was like, did you get the letter in the mail? Did you get a letter in the mail? I was like, you sent me something in the mail?
She's a trickster.
So I kind of let him sweat a little bit. But then I was like, yeah, I got it. It's okay.
But it actually worked out really good because we took some time to pray. We took some time. We were both interested in one another. We both felt like God was leading us that way. But we wanted to be sure. I want to encourage you to be sure and take some time to pray and fast about things. Don't just jump into something too quick. But it gave us some time to pray and to think things through. And that's really, I thought about Brother Christian. He said the Lord changed his song, and he sung that song about a wall of prayer. Because really, that's what we want to encourage all of you to do, is really pray. Pray with, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. And we really should pray about a companion and talk to God about that. Sherry and I have always prayed together. Even when we were dating, we always prayed together. And I don't know if that's even something people do these days, young people do, but I would encourage you, when you find somebody that you're interested in, start taking some time and praying together. It's a little awkward at first. It's a little awkward to pray with somebody that you're thinking about dating or that you're dating, but I feel like it was really, really good. And we kind of had this one situation where we was praying.
Well, we were broke up. We didn't get back together.
At the ice cream shop?
Yeah, hold on. Oh. at that camp meeting when we were broke up. Go ahead.
Well, at the camp meeting when we was taking some time apart, some of the other young men knew, some of the young brothers knew that we wasn't like seeing each other. And so one of them, one night she came walking in and one of them said, "Hey, I know you're not really interested, you're not really dating her anymore. Is it okay if I sit with her?" I said, "What?" And I couldn't say no because I wasn't really, dating her, so to speak, but it really bothered me that somebody else wanted to sit with her. And she was really beautiful that night. And she was beautiful every night, but I'm just saying, it just seemed like that was really difficult for me to let somebody else, but he did sit with her, but I didn't like it.
And not that I was really welcome, like, yay, oh yeah, because I was way over on the edge of my seat. I felt like Brother Dishman. Have you ever sat down and felt like Brother Dishman is looking right at you? I was like, he's looking right at me, like I didn't want him to sit here. That's what I felt like. I felt like that. But, it was like, it was a good little breakup. It was good for us, yeah. And we both knew that, God would have us to do that. And then we eventually found out, hey, we want to be together.
Yeah. So we began to write and call and sit together again.
Start all over.
And so when we would come here, we would sit together, we'd go places. And one night after church, we went down to the ice cream shop down here. If you go down this road to a T's down there, I think, or something, you turn left and it's down there, there's an ice cream shop. So like I said, we always prayed together. So we were out there, we got our ice cream or I think and ate it or whatever. And we were just sitting out there. We didn't go to dark places and park and talk. We stayed where it was lit up. We stayed where there were other people.
It was dark.
Well, they turned the lights out at the ice cream shop. But we were just sitting out there talking. And I said, let's have prayer. And I know that kind of sounds, some people, that sounds awkward. But you really should pray with the one you're thinking about as a companion. So I said, let's have prayer. And we was thinking about different prayer burdens. So we began to pray. We closed our eyes. And we were sitting there in my pickup truck. And we began to pray. And all of a sudden, my wife said, "The cops." I said, "Yes, Lord, help the cops. These cops need help. They're going through a lot." She said, "The cops are here." And the ice cream shop had closed, and they had turned their lights off. And so the cops, somebody called the cops thinking we were there vandalizing or whatever. So we had the cops standing outside our truck, shining the light in our truck, trying to get our attention. But prayer's still good. We feel like you should pray and you should get counsel from God and you should do that rather than what the world does. The world gets too close. And they
get too close physically yeah. Too close. And Alan, when we were dating, he didn't want to give me a hug. And I liked hugs. But he was like, no, you cannot hug. And so on our way over here, I just thought, you know, since I couldn't get hugs while I was dating, neither should you. Because it's too close. He's like, it's too close. It's just too close. So we got our engagement pictures taken. And the photographer was like, okay, could you guys just kind of, you know, move face each other and move close? And she wanted him to put his hands on my waist. And he was very stiff, just very. And she was like, you're going to marry her. Can you hold her a little bit closer? It was kind of funny. But yeah, so it's best because you don't want to get too carried away. And it's so easy for that to happen because there's lots of, you know, feelings that can be ignited. So it's very good to be careful with that.
So the godly advice we would give is to pray and to let God lead you. And when you do find someone, pray together with that person and ask God to help you to know and understand. And don't get too close. And take the counsel that has been preached and that your pastor gives you. And be careful because the Bible says don't give any place to the devil, right? We don't want to give the devil any place. Sherry and I feel like the Lord really has blessed our marriage because we believe we've done things the right way. And I believe He's no respecter of persons, and God can do that for each of you. And I want you to be encouraged that God knows where you're at. He knows your needs, and that He can bring you together with the right person. Right? You want to read some of the scripture?
One of the other things I just wanted to say about dating is really be careful that you get somebody that's spiritual. I mean, that I didn't go through my criterias, but that was really my main thing. I wanted somebody that was spiritual and that would be a spiritual leader in my home. I watched people around me and I watched other marriages, and I think that's good. If you can learn from other people's mistakes, I think that's a lot better. And I watched and I thought, ooh, I want my husband to be a good spiritual leader where I don't have to, you know, come on, it's time to go to church, or come on, I want it. So be sure that you have a good spiritual companion, somebody that is actually paying attention in church, isn't just being there because that's the thing to do, but is actually wants to. And even in their spare time, they're not talking and laughing at nasty things. They're behaving themselves. Get somebody that is spiritual. Be spiritual and get somebody that's spiritual, that wants to serve God most of all.
1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I just think, like, when you're talking back and forth on one of the social media formats or texting or whatever, just say, you know, can this conversation fall under that criteria, to the glory of God, doing all to the glory of God?
Very good.
Can it fall into that? What we're planning to do, where we're going, what we're talking about. You know, it's very easy for young people to get in a group or get in a number of other young people and start talking about things, and it can kind of get out of hand if you're not careful. But I say do all to the glory of God. Make sure what you're talking about, what you're discussing, if you look at something, read something, whatever, make sure you can do it to the glory of God. You want to share that one?
Yeah, I can write it. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And when I was younger, I didn't really say this, but when I was younger, I would pray. I don't know how old I was, but I would pray for my companion. I would, because I guess maybe just, I don't know, just see, just whatever, but I just thought, God, there's somebody out there for me. Please help him. Please help him. Watch over and protect him. Help him. And pray for myself that God can mold me. And I would pray as a young age. And don't think that just because you're young or just, you know, it does make a difference, and you can God can help you and bless you for that.
The last topic was, how did you know it was right? One way I knew is my visits started increasing. I was going like once a month, then it became every 2 weeks. And it was like I wanted to go see her every weekend. It was like I was feeling that desire. I was convinced. I had watched her life. I seen that she didn't skip the services. She would be in the services. She would be in the prayer meetings and things. And I was convinced that she really loved God, and she didn't have a desire to go away. She wasn't pulling me down. She wasn't pulling me away. when I was with her and we would pray together and we would read Bible together and we would go to revivals and things together, it was something that it wasn't pulling me farther away. It was causing me to be more interested in serving God.
And one of the ways that I knew was I had a peace about it. I had other little boyfriends and stuff, but they would be like, well, if we get married, we're going to move to. And I always was like, no, I'm not moving. I'm staying at Medina. I am not moving. Like, that was Brother Dickerson's rule. You weren't allowed to move. Boy or girl, you were not allowed to move from his congregation. You had to stay there. And I was like, he is the best, and I am not moving. But, you know, God sometimes those bold statements, you know, God kind of comes around, and, you know, and so when I met him and it was like, I'll be moving to Indiana, 4 hours away from my family, and it's kind of a pretty close family, and I was like, but I had a peace about it. I had a peace, and that made the difference. I had a peace about moving. The night before I got married, my sister came with her baby and was trying to make me feel guilty and was like, you're gonna miss his first steps, you're gonna miss his, and I'm like, I had a peace about it. I had a peace about it. And then he was, when we were engaged, he had, he sat down, he talked to me, and he said, I feel like I'm being called into the ministry. And I thought, ooh, the ministry, I'm not pastor's wife, preacher's wife. So I went to my pastor's wife, and I know that none of you probably, maybe some of you might remember Brother and Sister Dickerson, but Sister Dickerson was very, very firm and blunt and bold and strong. She was very strong, and I needed that, and she was good. But she told me, she said, well, then don't marry him. And I was like, oh. So I went to Brother Dickerson.
Brother Dickerson approved.
And he said, he just laughed, and he said she would have married me. But, you know, I think that I also feel like, you know, godly counsel is very important.
Yes.
And it helps.
Yeah. Yes. And then the deal clincher, real quick, we'll quit. The deal clincher was, I wrote a song about her.
We don't have time for that.
You got to sing one about me too. But I wrote a song about her. I entitled it Adam and Eve.
We don't have time.
And this is the chorus. It's as if I'm Adam and you're Eve. You're the only one for me. There is no other in any place to look and see. You make all my dreams come true. I am so happy. It's like I'm Adam and you're Eve. You're the only one for me. So that was it. She's got a song too.
We don't have time.
Yeah, real quick, real quick. We can't do anymore. Real quick, this is the song.
I'm in love with Alan. Yes, I truly am. He's my one and only. Gonna stay true till the end. I fixed my eyes on Alan a long, long time ago. And they're singing, oh, they're singing in my heart. Take any other guy, just give me Alan. I don't regret. I don't regret.
Thank you very much, Brother and Sister Polston. We appreciate that. All right, so I'm going to put my teacher hat on real quick. So, tell me something that you learned tonight. Anybody? What'd you learn? Brother Nate.
Polston's a very good writing song.
Okay, let's be a little more specific about finding a companion. What'd you learn? Brother Jacob.
Pray to be sure that
Okay, so I caught from it, pray for a companion, pray about a companion, keep praying, pray, keep praying, right up to the last point, keep praying, right?
Yeah.
Always make it a matter of prayer. What else did we learn?
Just
don't settle. Don't settle. God's got someone out there. You may have to wait. Maybe God's preparing that person for you. I think you heard other people say that they couldn't, well, actually Sister Cron last night couldn't actually stand Brother Andy at first when she first met him, but kind of grew on her after a while, right?
Yeah.
Maybe God needed to prepare him for her a little bit. So maybe God's preparing that companion for you. What else? I'm sorry?
Your companion should pull you closer to God, not farther.
Oh, there you go. Your companion should be helping you get closer to God, right? Should be drawing you toward God or helping you go get toward God. Very good. What else? Come on. Anybody else?
Brother Dylan.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Dylan.
Pray together.
All right.
Go to revivals, camp meetings.
Very good. Go to revivals, camp meetings. I got another thing. You know, watch that person. I believe Brother Allen basically was telling us she was involved in the work of God. That is one thing that caught his eye. What are they? Are they involved in the work of God, or are they just kind of hanging out on the edges? Are they not involved in the work of God? They're just kind of nonchalant about their worship? That's important, right? That's important. What else? Sister Macy. Keep your relationship in the light. Very good. Very good.
Let God lead you.
Let God lead you. And I've got one more. Seek godly counsel. Seek godly counsel. All right. Seek godly counsel. Talk to your pastor. Talk to your pastor's wife. Talk to your youth leaders. Talk to your parents. Get good godly counsel. All right. So we appreciate Brother and Sister Polston tonight.